pick up your hymnal. Let's turn to page number 115.
This morning. Amen. Cindy and I went on our little excursion and sat in the rain for 2 days, and thank goodness for good rain suits, right? We did hear some good music though and got to relax a little bit, and it was good to get away, but it's nothing like coming back home. And It's good to be back. Thank you, Brother Cody Edge, for filling in for us last week, and ask that you continue to pray for him and his ministry. And we might have him back one of these days again. I'd like to hear him preach, too. Good to have the Gideon brothers with us this morning. I'm going to give it to them here in just a little bit. After the choir sings, we'll let them make their presentation, and then I'll say a few words after that. A lot of folks missing last week. Good to see you back, I guess. Sickness, I see Miss Diana's got the time of the year. Myself didn't feel too good when we got back. It's Cindy's fault. She made me sit in the rain. But I'm feeling better now, so thank God for that. Amen. All right, we will do then, let me do the announcements and then we'll do the prayer request. This morning is our special offering for Brother Walter. The second time the plate is passed around will be to help Brother Walter defer some of his medical expenses. And I always remember Brother Walter. He continues to battle that old nasty cancer. But you know what? God's healed him because he's a saved man. Amen. And he knows that. But he needs our prayers and also our help, so remember that. As I said a little bit ago, the Gideons are here. They're going to make a little presentation here in a little bit. Then next Sunday, the 28th, will be the Youth Fund offering. So come prepared for that. The Youth Fund does a lot of stuff here. Feeds the kids on Wednesday night and just a lot of different things. So keep that in mind. The names for the Thanksgiving baskets are needed by next Sunday. That's coming right up. So if you know someone in the community or somewhere around that's in need, we always try to take up a nice Thanksgiving basket for them. We'll have quite a bit of stuff in it. Is there a list back there yet? Not yet. As soon as we get the names, then for sure we'll get a list and we'll know kind of what we're dealing with. So if you know someone that's in need, we need those names by next Sunday. Okay, November the 3rd, starting at 2 o'clock, Fall Festival at Ed and LaVita Kaiser's. If you don't know how to get there, we'll miss you. There'll be a lot of good food. We'll get you some directions, maybe hang some balloons. It's real easy. Go down here, turn up number 7, go over the hill to the bottom, turn left, go to the end of the road. David, I'm looking at you, man. I'm going to eat your chili. You gentlemen are welcome to come, too. We'd love to have you if you get a chance. Bring your family and come with you. Come, it'll be a potluck, cookout, and hayride, okay? Bring some lawn chairs. They got a wonderful place over there, so if you had never been there, I encourage you to come. Well, we thank you for graciously allowing us to come to your place, house. All right, nursery attendance this morning, Michelle and Holly, and then next Sunday will be Miss Georgia and Miss Mandy Buck.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
It's good to see everybody out this morning. The choir's going to do a special for you this morning. It's a little bit different than what you're used to hearing, and actually even what we're used to doing. But they've done a really good job. But I'm going to sing the verses to this one, and then they're going to sing the chorus to it. It's an old song. I know you've heard it before. It's time to actually sing this song. Because I believe someone here in this congregation today needs to hear this.
Amen.
So we're going to sing this for you this morning. It's entitled Going Home.
Many times in my childhood, when we've traveled so far, by nightfall, how weary I'd grow. Father's arms would slip round me, so gently he'd say, my child, I'm going home.
Go.
Twilight is fading, and the day soon shall end, and I get homesick the farther I roam. But my Father has led me each step of the way, and now I'm going. Oh, my heart gets so heavy, and I'm longing to see all my loved ones and friends I have known. Every step draws me nearer to the land of my dreams. Praise God, I'm
choir. That was beautiful. I like that. Okay, Brother Dave, you want to come and give your presentation? Thank you, sir, for coming. Both of you brothers.
Blessed to be here.
I come here to give you a giving report this morning of what Almighty God is doing in this ministry. And we're here to raise him up. And amen, we can do that. If you're looking for a scripture in the Bible that most describes who the Gideons are, Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. That pretty much describes the Gideons. Since 1899, when Almighty God chose three traveling salesmen to start this ministry in a little town of Wisconsin, this ministry has grown to over 270,000 men and women worldwide. I've been a Gideon for 8 years. God is opening up Gideon camps to get his word spread places me and you've never heard of. And I still haven't heard of them. But anyway, the mission when this ministry was started was to place his word in the hands of men, women, boys, and girls. Prayerful hope. It will lead them to the saving grace and knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ. And that mission was day one, and it still is today. It took 102 years from 1899 to 2001 to place the first 1 billion Bibles. Well, lo and behold, from 2001 to the spring of 2015, the second 1 billion was placed. As God is opening doors, Gideons are there to step in. And churches like Oak Hill and all across the world help fund this thing, you know. Because we don't print Bibles unless a request is made. And it comes in like close to 100 million a year. And praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
Like I said, when I joined the Gideons like 8 years ago, we were printing Bibles in like 90 different languages. That's over 100 now. So the Lord is opening these doors.
Amen.
And we've grown to over 201 countries. And that gets me to talk about China. You can pass out 350,000 Bibles in China a year. And the reason they know that you're not going to do any more than that, you got to print them in China. So they got an exact account of how many Bibles you're doing. In fact, excuse me, one of the churches in China sent one of the government workers down there, they did, to find out what's going on, what are they talking about in there. Third time he visited that church, he accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's what's going on. And that sounds like a lot of Bibles, folks, but there's 4 billion men. Most of us in here have had a Bible we can look read since we was knee-high to our grandfather. And that goes way back for a lot of us, but there's 4 billion people in this world that's never seen the Word of God. They've never seen one of these. The sad part of that news is that every 10 seconds, 23 people in this world die. Only 4 of them reach the heavenly gates of heaven. That's not a good number. So work is still to be done.
Amen.
Some testimonies I'd like, first of all, I'd like to tell you about what our camp does. We meet every Thursday morning. Gosh, when I joined the Gideons at that Hot Spring Village camp 8 years ago, maybe 10, 11 people would be there for a prayer breakfast. We do every Thursday morning. We're averaging 20 or better now. And sometimes we get 24 or 5 there. But our camp goes out each fall and got 2 big distributions. We're passing out his word. We're planting seeds. And Garland County Fair is in September. And we have a booth down there and pass out several hundred Bibles. And you meet some folks doing this. God blesses you every day that you're doing this. Another one is we just finished. Jim heads up our Bible distributions here, Jim Holt. We do just finished up with National Park College, which that college is growing. They got a new building going up down there. And we give out over 1,300 copies of God's Word. And a lot of people, a lot of young people are appreciative of it. Some of them, you don't find many that's not. But that's kind of what we do in here locally. And some testimonies I'd like to share with you this morning feature a lady that was a single mom of three. And she was down and depressed. Thought about ending her life. And she got in a closet. She didn't have a job. She was having trouble making ends meet. And she got in a closet one day with a pistol. She said, God, if you don't do something, do it right now. I'm going to end my life right here. And just about that time, one of her kids come in from school with one of them. She can't remember exactly where they started reading this Bible, this little testament. But now, she's turned her life over to God. Worship the Lord every chance. She said, God has blessed me with that little testament. Prisoner over in the Ukraine. Been in jail, in prison a few times. Served up a total of about 20 years, still in prison. And all he could do was lay in his jail cell and stare at the ceiling. He had to go down and get his physical, annual physical. And the doctor told him, fellas, you've got cirrhosis of the liver from all the drugs and alcohol. You got tuberculosis. That's just to name a few things that's wrong with you. In fact, I don't know why you're still alive. You ought to be dead. So they drug him back to his cell. Like I said, he couldn't walk. Directly, he got tired of staring at the ceiling. He got to reading one of these that some Gideon had placed there. He said, it wasn't long he started getting an appetite. It wasn't long he had to go back for another physical. And the doctor told him, said, and he walked down there. He didn't have to be toted down there. He walked to the doctor's office. He said, doctor said, man, you got simultaneous healing. He said, no, sir, I got Jesus healing. Lo and behold, he got out of prison, but he's going back now because he's a chaplain. You know, Lord said, my word will never return void. And I'm going to read you one that I got the other day. A hotel clerk who works at the Hampton Inn in Stone Mountain, Georgia, recently discovered the following note written in a Bible placed by the Gideons. I was thinking of taking my life tonight. I'm filled with sorrow. Thank you for placing this Bible. I read some part about how much God loves me, and I'm going home now alive. Maybe God has a purpose for my life. Today, that Bible is still in room 218, but the page he had written that note in is taken out and framed and hanging in the general manager's office. Again, you know, God's word never returns void. We thank y'all for having us here today. Without the churches helping fund all this, millions and millions of Bibles that Gideons are out throughout the world placing, it would slow way down getting his word spread. We need two things today. Gideons are out in this world in places that they are not welcome, but they're out passing out the word. Around here, we're blessed to have the freedom we have to come to church and worship our Lord. But that's not the case in other places in this hostile world. But yet, they're there. And lift them up in your prayers. Because it's not as good as we got it right here. We're blessed here. And we're appreciative of any funding we get from the churches. This little Bible is $1.25. Now, I heard last year from our district director that God wants it down to $1. And I'm telling you, if he wants it down to $1, somebody's going to figure out how to do it. And these little inserts, take them home with you. You feel led to make another donation, you just mail it in. It's self-addressed. Either I self-address them or my wife does. And thank you all again for having us here today. Any questions I could answer while I'm up here? Thank you all for having us. God bless you.
Amen.
Thank you. I'm going to say this before I start on my little sermon, but my first experience with a Gideon was many, many years ago. I was actually over at his place of business last week. Fella, he's went on to be with the Lord. His name was Buster Warwick. First time I ever met him, I went in to get a hydraulic cylinder rebuilt and went in early, and they were sitting over at a break table in the shop. And I came in, and Mr. Buster told me, he said, we're over here reading God's Word if you want to join us. And I went over and joined them. A gentleman paid them guys that worked in his shop to sit there and listen to God's Word be read. That's been 30 years ago, I guess, maybe more. We became really good friends. Like I say, he went on to be with the Lord, but they're still passing out Bibles over there, and they're still having Bible study every day. Amen. And I thank God for men like him and y'all that see the need of spreading the word. Yeah, when we went on our little mission trip to Maine, they gave us a couple of cases of Bible. I think we passed out a whole bunch of them from the Gideons. And so we thank you for what you do. Because I know that there's power in the Word. Amen. You know, if you can read the Word, the Holy Spirit can get a hold of you and lead you. Thank you for that. All right, 2 weeks ago, that we started, I call it Baptist distinctives, if you will. It's basic Baptist doctrines or beliefs. I firmly believe that each and every one of us need to know what we believe and why we believe it. Amen. Not just because someone told us, it needs to be in here so that then we can be, that's how we get on fire for the Lord. When it comes really right down and lights inside of us. And if you don't know what you believe, how can you show someone else or tell them about Jesus? It's vitally important that we know. So I want you to know this, and I put this in my notes, and it's not just because the Gideons were here, but don't take my word for what I say up here. Read it out of God's Word. And guess what? If you don't have a Bible, I'll bet you these brothers will hook you right up before you get out of here today. Okay? So don't take my word for it. Read God's Word. Read it for yourself. Now, the first sermon in this series dealt with precisely that. I said that we believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. That God's Word not only is in the Bible, but the Bible is God's Word to man. Each and every word of it is important. And I say this many times in our studies and stuff, but we study God's Word one word at a time because God didn't waste any words, and they're all important, okay? So each and every word in that Bible, that's the Word of God to you and I, and that's what we base our beliefs and practices on. And if we base our beliefs and practices on anything other than God's Word, we're going to be misled. We're going down the wrong path. And that's why I started with the Word of God. because that's where it all starts. Now, when we understand that God's word is the final word, amen? Remember, many years ago, the old saying was, the Bible says that I believe it makes it true. That's not true, folks. The Bible says it. That's what makes it true, whether I believe it or not. When we understand that God's word is the final word, then we can understand what he's telling us in the rest of the book. I used to love to listen to Paul Harvey, and he'd say, and now the rest of the story. Well, the Bible contains the rest of the story. Now, don't forget as we go through this series, that some of the subjects that we're going to talk about are kind of going to overlap. There's no way around that. So just keep that in mind. I'll try not to go back over it too much or any more than necessary. God, big G God that we're here to worship and serve this morning. Now, if we go back to our sermon from last week and we do agree that the Bible is the final word, then the simple answer is that's enough said. Because the Bible tells us that God is God. And that should be enough, should it not? Every word of it, every syllable of it, proclaims God. That should settle it. But as men will be men, and as we have to sometimes be beat over the head with things, I think it's important that we explore this just a little bit. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13, when Moses was talking to God, and God was telling him to go down to the children of Israel. And we'll read a couple of verses there. It says, Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, What is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent you. You know, I was thinking about that as I was getting ready for this sermon this morning. And God says, I am. He is. Everything. How else could you explain God? He is. He said, Tell them, I am, hath sent you. God is everywhere we look. Genesis 1 and 1. I love this. It says, In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, if you just look at that scripture, the first few words of it, it says, In the beginning, God. Well, you know, in the beginning, as time as we know it, God was already here. God already was. Now, I want you to know that we're dealing with a lot of teachings in our schools and higher education facilities that are teaching against creationism. They're teaching this thing that we have got from Mr. Darwin that they call evolution. And evolution proves itself false all by itself, if you just look at it. First, a very simple question. I want you to answer this to yourself. If the universe started with the Big Bang, who blew it up? Did it just happen like that? Okay? If it was a tiny little speck of space dust, colliding, where'd it come from? What caused it to move? They can't answer those questions. How was there enough energy there to cause this great explosion they're talking about? Think on that for a minute or two. It takes a lot more faith to believe in evolution than it does creation. And we have God's word. Okay. I want you to think of the orderliness of God for just a moment. That in and of itself proves that God is God. Think of our DNA. I mean, think of that for a second. Now, as you know, or if you don't know, I'm fixing to tell you, but computer code is written in ones and zeros, okay? So when they're writing code for a computer, it'd go like this, 1101001, or whatever, okay? And so on. And each line of that code tells the computer what to do. So they write this code, and when that code comes up, it tells the computer to do this, processes it over and over. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? That someone could think of something like a computer, you know, this little handheld device that has all this information in it. It's actually really amazing. But think of our DNA for just a second. It is written like that, only it uses what scientists abbreviate as A, T, G, C. That's the way they write it. Don't ask me what that means. That's way above my head. But look at this. Our DNA is written like this. C, G, T, G, T, G, C, T, and so on and so forth. And the string of DNA tells our body's cells down to the cellular level what to do. Now, here's God. There are 3 billion of these codes in each and every cell in your body. Huh, coincidence, right? I don't think so. Simple math confirms creationism. You remember, I mean, nowadays I don't know if kids learn their multiplication tables. I think they put them on computers and they type them out. But whenever I was being taught, 0 times anything still equals what?
0.
You got to have something to start with, right? Before it can multiply. Okay, so in the beginning, God. You don't know where we came from? God. He was already here.
Amen.
He was already here. Also, this just blows my mind when I think about it. But if you want to believe in evolution, tell me this. How come there's not peace? Did it just stop? What happened to it? Imagine that. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. What about our seasons? You know, spring, summer, fall, winter. Repeat. What if they got out of order? What if they got mixed up? Guess what? If we didn't have spring, summer, fall, and winter, we wouldn't have flowers, trees, much of our food, or anything else. God, in the beginning. So the Word says it, and everything we know backs it up. There is a God, a big G God, that created everything that we know.
Amen.
And I want you to know this. That big G God that we're talking about, He loves you. And He wants you to have the best that you possibly can. Now, it's a supreme being who created everything, and His name is Jehovah. God. Now, we talk about the triune God in a future message. I had part of that in this sermon. I had to back it out. But this morning, I want to talk about one God. God, God, God. The Creator God. The God who has always been. In Psalms chapter 90 and verse 2, it says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." How long is everlasting? How long is eternal? I think about it like this. Did you know that since the beginning of time as we know it, some 6,000 odd years or so, we are not 1 second closer to the end of everlasting than we were at the beginning? Isn't that amazing? He goes on. That beginning 6,000 odd years ago was not 1 second closer to the beginning of God than we are now. Because, simply put, everlasting is everlasting. It never stops. Eternal. Here's what really blows my mind, though. God's easy for me to get. I see it everywhere that I look. Everyone, open your eyes, folks. The all of creation screams God. And if you will but open your mind, and if you can take God's word and open your mind and your heart, boy, you can really get it. But here's what really blows my mind. Before God created all this, all the intricate, complex things that we call life, He knew that we would fail. He knew that Adam was going to sin, and that wedge was going to be driven between God and man. He knew that he was going to have to send his only begotten son to pay that price on the cross. Now, I want you to know something. As this God we're talking about, he is so righteous that he cannot be around sin. And so, when we sin, and we all do, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all guilty. And when that happens, we have to have the payment made by the one that's not guilty. So get this. God, in his infinite wisdom and knowledge, before he ever created the first molecule, knew that he was going to have to give of himself so that we might be united with him forever. He had to pay the price that we couldn't pay. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, as I've said, but in Psalms 103 and 17, it says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Upon them that fear him and his righteousness unto his children's children. Let me tell you something, folks. There's never been more sin than there has been mercy of God and grace of God. And there never will be. God's mercy has always been here for us. And it always will be. John 3:16, we can all quote it, I'm sure, but it's probably one of the most quoted verses in the Bible, and it very plainly, as Jesus said, he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Remember the t-shirt that we got for our kids on Wednesday night? I am a whosoever, because I believe in Jesus Christ. He loved us enough to send the very best, and it's not Jesus. He did that so that we won't have to pay the price that we owe. I've heard people say, well, I just want what I got coming to me. I thank God I'm not getting what I deserve. Amen. That's the God I serve. God leaves nothing to chance, my friend. It wasn't a big bang. It wasn't a string of coincidence. God is an orderly God, and he knew what we were going to need so that we could spend eternity with him. And what we need is the shed blood of Jesus. I thank God for that. Just like the orderly manner in which he created everything, he has a plan for you, my friend. I hope and pray that everyone in this building knows Jesus as their personal Savior. But if you don't, you can, because he died on the cross for you. But listen, friend, if you're here this morning and you know Jesus as your personal Savior, I got news for you. God has more plans for you if you'll just accept them and move forward. The Bible, again, our rule and practice, here's what it says. If you're not saved, listen closely. If you are saved, you may need to know this to tell somebody. Ephesians 2:8-9, I love this scripture. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. You see how simple God made it? He made it so simple that the richest person, the poorest person, the smartest person, the most unintellectual person could all be saved. Because it's God's grace. You're saved through faith in Jesus Christ, that not of yourself, it is a gift to God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're saved from the penalty of sin by God's grace through the anointed one, the Christ, Jesus. It's a perfect plan. There is no faults. God gave it to us. He gave us the way to get to where he's at. All we have to do is trust Jesus. Listen, this world's going down the tubes quickly. Just open your eyes and look around. God knew this was going to happen. God knew that. I believe God knew that, and I believe that's part of the reason, is so that we could spread the gospel to those that are less fortunate than we. I'm afraid sometimes that we get complacent and get satisfied with where we're at. Folk, there's lost people out there dying every day that need to hear about Jesus Christ, that needs to know this big G God that the Bible is all about. What are we going to do? We're going to sit in our nice padded pews, in our heated and air-conditioned buildings, in our freedom, and be happy that we're where we're at? Or are we going to get up and go forth? Like God said, go ye therefore, preach and teach, baptize. The Great Commission. Jesus said all power was given to him in heaven and in earth. Let me tell you something, friend. He didn't send us out without any power. All we have to do is go tell people about God. Introduce them to Jesus Christ. Give them the word. Give them the word. All we are is planters and waterers. The Holy Spirit does the rest. I want you to know that I base everything that I believe in God and His Word. And I thank Him for sending His Son to save me. But I also thank Him for sending His Son to save you. And I want you to know something, friend. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, Jesus died on a cross specifically for you. And if you were the only one that was ever going to accept Jesus and escape the wrath of God, He'd have done it anyway. That's the love of God. It's here for you. God so loved. What are you going to do about it? Maybe you need Jesus as your personal Savior. I've told you how to get there. It's by the grace of God. All you have to do is trust and believe. The Bible tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not a question. All you have to do is do what the book says. God's faithful. Maybe you're here this morning and you know God. Maybe you know Jesus as your personal Savior. I hope and pray that you do. But I dare say that each and every one of us sitting in here today knows someone that needs to be here hearing about Jesus Christ. I want you to know something. They're not coming if you don't invite them. And most of them nowadays are not coming if you don't invite them more than once. I got a suggestion. Why don't you offer to go get them and bring them with you? And let's tell them about Jesus. Because just as sure as there is a heaven, there is a hell. And we don't want anybody going there. I want to ask our song leader and our pianist to come. I'll ask you to... You would bow with me, please. Our Father, as we come to you at this time, so thankful that your word proclaims your Son Jesus, but so thankful, Lord, that your word tells us who you are, that your God is love, God is giving, God is caring, God is everything. Lord, if we can get ourselves out of the way, we can see that. I thank you, God, for telling us and showing us and giving us everything that we need. Lord, I pray that if there's any here amongst us today that needs to make a move for you, whatever it might be, maybe someone needs to rededicate their life. Maybe someone needs to dedicate their life. Lord, maybe you're calling someone to preach or minister or do some other outreach program. Lord, send the Spirit to convict. give them what they need to be able to take that step. I know, Lord, and I proclaim that all we have to do is be willing. Everything else comes from you. Your grace is sufficient. I ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Page 195.
Words, listen to them. Pass me not. Don't pass me by, gentle Savior. I'm so thankful that so many years ago that the Holy Spirit drew me. But guess what else? I'm so thankful that He called me to preach. I'm so thankful that He put me here.
Amen.
I'm thankful that God gives me the opportunity to stand up and proclaim Jesus Christ. What are we going to do with it, folk? Boy, I look around the world and I see such a turmoil that it's in and all the things that are going on just in our nation. And oh, by the way, it's still the greatest nation in the world.
Amen.
But it needs a little fixing up. Are you God? Listen, folks just like us, just poor old country folk, proclaiming the word. That's all that's required. What's He calling you to? Pass me not. Pass me not. Can you sing that song and really mean it? I mean, think about this. Okay, I'm afraid to say that, preacher. He might call me to preach. Nothing greater will ever happen to you if that's what He has for you. Pass me not. Let me tell you something. If you are not willing to accept, He might pass you. What a blessing you would miss. Pass me not. Whatever God has for you, that should be your prayer. Pass me not, as we sing another verse. Thank you very much. Good to be here this morning. Thank you for coming.